Tracy, your time has come. But before that, parents, SP33, I don't know that code name, who you are, you'll know who you are, you can please kind of deal with. I just want to pray with Tracy. I just want to honor this lady for what she's carried within this community and stuff. But just to reassure you, these people love you, okay? And they are for you, they're with you. This is a very different thing, preaching, but it's an honor to have you preach with us today, okay? And share your heart, and I know what you're carrying, because if ladies, you were last Sunday night, and this lady shared beautifully about the golden calves in our lives. I got the whole rundown at home. I was told everything. I knew exactly what happened here last Sunday night. It was very good. But it was you today. Okay, and let's just reach out and we're going to pray. Father, we want to thank you for this gift. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have placed so much within Tracy's heart. And Lord, as she speaks, we just speak your anointing to be working in and through her this morning. And as we speak on this topic and subject, Lord, we thank you that she's got many stories to tell of your goodness and your faithfulness. So, Father, we just release your love and your glory and your anointing in it through her now by the power of your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, everybody. So I'm going tech route. Let's hope it lasts. My Bible was stolen, so haven't quite replaced it yet. So. Thank you, Patty, for sharing. That's like the heart of what I'm going to share today. It's not an easy topic to. Thank you. I don't know how this works. We'll figure it out. It's not an easy topic to talk about finances, and particularly the tithe. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Because there's so much opposition and there's so much misconception and there is a lot of false teaching, and it's a difficult topic. It's something that my husband and I have been journeying through with for a long time, and as I'm sure many of you, and we've learned so much along the way. We're not there yet. You know, it's a journey. Everything is a journey, and each time God teaches us something new. But I wanted to share our story with you a little bit and a lot of the things that we've learned along the way. So I think before we start, I just want to read that scripture again, Patty, Malachi 3. But I want to start from verse 6. And it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances." I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. "And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Yikes. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. But bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room, that there will not be room enough to receive it." It's very fancy English. I just want to go back to the first slide. There were some words that I underlined there that I wanted to talk to you about. I think if you can remember this today, just remember this part. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "I do not change." And so one of the things that I want to share with you today is it's grounded in the word of the Lord. And I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so get ready to flip, because we're going to speak from the word. Matthew was actually sharing with me the analogy that I shared this morning about that balloon that you can punch and it comes back up. He was saying that God showed him that the weight at the bottom is the word. When you're grounded in the word, when you know who you are, when you know the truth, then when the devil comes and knocks you, you can bounce back. But when you haven't got that grounding and you don't know, then it's hard to bounce back. Then you lay down for a lot longer. So just remember that this morning, because I'm going to share a lot. And then I just wanted to talk to you about the word ordinances. So ordinances is actually just a word that it's a custom. One of the ordinances that we take in regularly is the communion. It's a custom that has an Old Testament. It started years and years and years ago. You'll see in the scriptures as we read today, but it has a New Testament meaning now to us, and we participate in this custom. And these ordinances are customs. They're just ordinary behavior. It's things that we do on a regular basis. It's something that we do. So when God said, you have gone away from my ordinance, he's in this particular scripture, he's talking about in the tithes and offerings. And it's he's in implying that the tithes and offerings is ordinary behavior. Bringing our tithes and offerings is not something special. It's not something unique. It's something that should be part of our everyday life, everyday behavior. And I wanted to clarify one other thing, because this scripture has lots in it. Okay, then I'm going to get started. Just in verse 9, it says that you are cursed. I just want to just point out, God is not going to curse you. He's talking about, you've robbed me and you've stolen from me. It's not God that's cursed you. Okay, I just want to clarify that. Okay, but there is a worldly economic system that is cursed. It's not a godly system. It's not a godly financial system. So God's saying that when you are not participating in the ordinary ordinances, the things that are supposed to be part of our daily life, and we will talk about the robbing in a moment. I know that's very scary, like robbing God sounds very frightening. We'll get to that when I've warmed up. I'm just joking. But I wanted to just remind, just to say that when we are not unlocking the key, which tithing is the key, it's not that God's going to now put a curse on you and everything's going to go wrong and it's all God's going to do all of that to you. It's that you put yourself in the wrong lane. You put yourself in the lane of the economic worldly system that is cursed. It doesn't have the power to financially bless you. It doesn't have the power to bring breakthrough. But when we unlock with tithing and we step into the correct lane and we step into the kingdom finances and we step into the principles that God has placed, then God says, and that's when verse 10 says, right at the bottom, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. So it just depends on which lane you want to be in this morning. Okay, so I just want to share a little story with you, because I do have another disclaimer. I'm sorry that you came this morning. Because once you've heard this word, you can never ever say, I didn't know. So I hope that you're not going to leave here thinking, gosh, I wish I'd stayed in bed. I thought that this morning, because it was so foggy and misty, and I thought, oh my goodness, I could just stay in bed this morning. But unfortunately, now that you're going to hear this word, there's going to come a time when you're going to be tested. Okay, and I just want to share this little story. My husband and I had met many years ago, and I think he got saved very early on in when we sort of first sort of met and then kind of started dating. And I think it had been about a year. He'd been saved for about a year and he'd been attending church regularly, and the church was doing a teaching on tithing. Sorry, so here we go. And so he began to tithe, and I think he'd been tithing for about 2 months, and on the third month, it was my birthday month. It was August. And he tells me this later. I didn't know this at the time, otherwise I would have warned him. But he decided that because it was my birthday month and he wasn't earning a lot of money, and finances is something that God's been working with us for a long time for a reason, but he didn't have a lot of money and he wasn't earning a lot, and so he made the decision that he was going to not tithe that month. And he didn't have a husband to say, you can't afford not to tithe, because he wanted to buy me a gift. Now, my birthday is the 15th of August, so that is slap bang right in the middle of the month. And actually, I don't want to embarrass him, but he's not here. It's his loss, exactly. But it came to the 15th of the month, and he was flat broke. There was not a cent. In fact, I think he ate dinner at our house every night after that, because when I say nothing, we had no cents to rub together. And I think some of us know what that feels like. And of course, now he had no money to buy the gift. Now remember, he'd held back the tithe in order to have money so that he can have extra money to buy the gift. So if you've met my husband, you'll know that he's talented in many things, but artistic flair is not his specialty. And so he got my mom to scramble through the house the night before. This is the lastminute.com that we know Keith to be. My family know that story. Scrambling through the box of arty things in the house, in our house, and he put together this homemade card. Now, that's what I thought people were going to go, oh, sweet. Oh, that's so thoughtful. It's the thought that counts. That's what he thought too. Woo. So I have thrown it away, for those who want to know where it is, because it reminds me too much of my anger. But it wasn't that. It wasn't the thought. It was, bless his heart, he went through one of my childhood photo albums, found a photo of me, and put a photo of me in the card, and wrote happy birthday. Yeah. I know, and I still married him. What was I thinking? It wasn't because of the card, I think. But it was just that, it was that moment, and of course I can go on and on about the card, and yes, it was the thought that counted, but it was the fact that halfway through the month, the time that he decided that I was going to hold back my tithe because I needed the money, was the time that God decided this is going to be a great test, a time to test. And I just want to read Haggai 1 verse 6 to you. And I just wanted to explain, I was talking to you earlier about that cursed system. And I think this scripture kind of sums up what it's like to be in that system. Now, if you know what this feels like, you can just, in your heart, you can just nod. Okay, you don't have to show me. But it says, you've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, and no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Wow. That's a feeling that Keith and I have had for large chunks of our marriage. There's been times in our lives before we learned some of these principles where this was the story. And in fact, I think Hein and Wendy will tell you, I used to work with them. I'm sure I said this at work before, and I said it sometimes. I said, it's so hard. How come I am working so hard to be this poor? Because both Keith and I worked. We've worked. God's blessed us with opportunity to have employment most of our married life. But there were times when we felt like we were just putting wages into bags full of holes. And I couldn't understand. We couldn't understand what was going on. And I'm going to finish that story later. So I've got 4 points that I want to bring with you today. I think one of the most important one, the first one is that I think it's important that we clarify. Tithing is biblical. This is point number one. So are you ready to turn those scriptures? Because I've got a lot, all right? There are lots of arguments about tithing and whether or not it is applicable to us in the New Testament. Is it something under the law? And we live under grace. But I think the reality is adultery is under the law. Murder is under the law. And they're not applicable today. And I think we would be unwise to think that we can just live however we choose and that we wouldn't have to have the consequences of those choices. And I know that I'm making light and I'm picking two really big things, murder and, but the reality is that actually tithing is mentioned all the way through the Bible, before the law, during, and even in the New Testament. So we're going to go on a little journey from cover to cover very quickly. I don't want to focus too much because I've got lots of things I want to say, but I just think it's worth us seeing that this isn't something that is important enough for God to talk about it throughout. So the first one, I would suggest if you have a pen and paper or if you're going to take a snapshot, write these scriptures down. Because in this next week, there's going to come a test. There's going to be things that are going to stir in your heart. And it's important that you go over these in your own time and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. So today, I'm just going to plant the seed. Awesome. Okay. Did you hear that? They're going to put the PowerPoint in the Google Drive and everyone will have opportunity. Okay, so the first Okay, these are all the ones. You can take a quick shot, and then I've got them up so you don't have to flip too much. Clickety click click. It's okay. They come up. They're going to come up. It's okay. All right. Are we finished? Okay. So first one, Genesis 14. Can't get more in the beginning of the Bible than Genesis. Okay. Genesis 14 says, verse 18 to 20, says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Sound familiar? He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, just a quick disclaimer, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. So, interesting that in Genesis we're talking about the tithe to Christ. All right, Genesis 28. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. Okay, we'll notice in the scripture that they talk about the tithe and God's house. That's the church. The tithe comes to the church in all of the scriptures we're going to go through. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Okay, now a tenth is a tithe. Tithe is a Hebrew word, and it literally directly is translated as a tenth. Okay? Exodus 23, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of your land shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God. There it is, house of the Lord, that's the church. First of the first fruits, that's the tithe, shall you bring. Now, I just want to put a little point in here. Why does God say bring and not give? Because the tithe is not ours. It's his. He set aside the tithe to be holy. We'll see that in the next scripture. You can't give something that you'd never own. So the tithe belongs to God. He's already set it aside. It belongs to him from the beginning. That's why he said, you have robbed me. Because the tithe has always belonged to him. So he says, bring it because it's his. Not give it because it's not ours. Okay? Sorry, I'm supposed to be going quickly through this. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land. Now, this is when the law comes in, sort of history. I'm not so good at the history and the timeline, but it's around this time. Whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. There you go. It's his. All right? It is holy to the Lord. Now, that word holy means it is set apart. It is separated. Okay, so the tithe is holy to the Lord because it belongs to him, and he set it apart. Okay? And it says, where the seed of the land and fruit of the tree, that's because of the people he's talking to and the times. All right, that was their way of income. Our system is different. We don't necessarily, unless you're a farmer, our income is in a different form. Okay? Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The word honor. Honor me. Right? It's a sacred ordinance. God has ordained tithing. This is a biblical principle. Okay? Guess what? If I could, I would have made this in red, because in the Bible, if you can turn to this quickly, you'll see that this is written in red, which means who said it? Jesus. Okay? And it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Just to recap, this is in the New Testament. This is long after the law. God is saying, without leaving the others. That others that he's talking about, that's the tithing. He's saying you ought to have done the justice and the mercy and faith. That's something we ought to do without leaving the others undone. Okay, last one. Then we finish the whirlwind. Hebrews 7, verse 8. it's a beautiful chapter. It's also talking about Melchizedek here. But I just wanted to, just to show you, it says here, meaning here on earth, mortal men receive the tithes. So we've just brought, we've had our baskets, we've put our money in, and a lot of people have it challenges them because they feel like, how am I giving this to God when the money's coming in and the church is using it? That's God's plan. He designed that system on purpose to be like that. But look what it says, just to reassure you, mortal man will receive the tithes. They will manage it. All right, they will be accountable for how they manage it. Right, that's not up to us to decide whether they are worthy enough. Okay, that's up to God. But there he receives it, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So when we bring our tithe, when we bring our offerings, yes, mortal men will receive it, and it will be managed and it will be used here in the church. But that just makes you want to tithe, doesn't it? He will receive it in heaven. Okay. Right. Hopefully there's enough. There's many more. I just ran out of time to type them all in. There's many more scriptures about finances. Let's go to point two. Tithing is a test. Okay, I'm just going to grab a sip of water. Just while you guys get ready for the test. And I've been a teacher for 25 years. And when I said the word test, I saw those faces. You get those calm ones. I'm so ready, I'm prepared. 3 weeks in advance, they've been studying. Okay? Then you get those other ones. What test? Okay? I've seen those faces, I know. That was Keith. At school and around my birthday, when a year into training, okay? What test? Well, there you go. You just got it, okay? And the art. Yeah. Why is it a test? Well, God is testing our hearts. It's a test. Sheldon shared that in the first week when we started this series. It's a test of our hearts. It is an easy way to know that, for God to know that he has 100% of your heart. If we think about it, a lot of people will happily come here and we'll sing, "You can have it all, Lord. You can have it all, just not my money." You know? He wants it all, including that part. All right, and it's a test. And there's only two options. You're either going to pass the test or you're going to rob from God. Those are the two options. There's nowhere else. The Bible either says, you bring the tithe, or you rob me. I'll just leave that right there. I mean, you've heard that saying, put your money where your mouth is. Okay? That's how I felt with that card. Like a photo of myself. I mean, at least of him. I mean, surely. Like, you know, shame, bless his heart. Yeah, he knows about the card, you know. And I mean, like, not even a nice picture of me, just some rando, like, cut out the corner of, like, one of the photos, you know. Oh, shame, shame. It's all right. God works with all of us. We all have our journeys. So But why I'm saying it's a test, and I'll show you as we go, is that it was never about the amount. So remember we said that a tithe is a tenth. Now, as a maths teacher, tenth is a very easy number to calculate. I think that's also part of the reason why God said a tenth, because I think everyone can do it, hopefully. If not, we'll do some extra maths lessons at the end, okay? But a tenth is an easy number, but it also means that all of us give the same portion. It's not about the fact that someone gives a large amount of money because they earn a large amount of money, and someone who only earns a small amount of money, but we each give the same portion. That's the beauty of percentage, is that it's a piece of the whole. And whatever the whole is, sorry, I'm getting into maths. Whatever the whole is for you, based on your ability, God says, I'm only asking for 10. it's mine anyway, but I'm asking you to be a good steward. The other 90% you can keep. You can steward that. I'm only asking for the 10. But I think why it's a test is because it takes faith. It takes faith to give that 10th. Like Patty said, it takes faith to give that 10th and to trust that 90% with his blessing goes further than 100% without. And it's so hard to hold on to that 500 rand or whatever Keith didn't pay in his tithe, to hold on and think that that's going to save you. That 500 rand or that amount of money that you withheld, even if it's 1 rand, remember it's not the amount, but it's saying, God, I don't trust you to fulfill your promise. I'm going to hold on to this because I really need it. I need to buy my girlfriend a present. We've just lost our business. We can't afford to tithe. But it's putting your faith in that little amount of money, which is only 10% of your earning, actually. And when you say it like this, it feels silly, but I know that feeling. I've been there. I've been in that space where you go, yo, I can't afford this. I can't do this. My husband and I did have many years of that. And we disobediently made some plans in this one particular phase in our life. So I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here and be a bit honest. But we couldn't afford it. And what we would do is we would get our salary, and my husband was working on a commission base, and it had been a couple of months of no income, and sometimes the basic, and it was a very confusing system. So I don't understand finances. Just give me X, Y, Z. It all works perfectly in my brain. But we would put our money out, we'd look at all the bills, and we'd go, some for Woolworths, and some for this, and some for that, and the rent, and the school fees. Whew, not enough for God. Okay, so what about if we just tithe on what we get in our account, not our gross, net, which one? I don't know, which, gross, is that the big one? Yeah, it's gross, it is gross. The other one is more gross, but I don't know why they don't call it gross. But we had many times where we would be in that situation, and then we would give something like a token. Here's a token to you, Lord. And I'm going to talk about that in my fourth point. And the reality is that God wouldn't have accepted that anyway. But I'm going to explain to you why shortly. And I know that a lot of the things I'm saying this morning might feel a bit harsh. But please know my heart. I'm not trying to offend you. I just want to show you what's in the Word and just what I've experienced. Because, as we said, we're not in this for the blessing. We're not doing this because this is not a recipe for, hey, if I just do this, then I can be blessed and I can get all those things that I wanted. Okay, because in Haggai, we didn't read the whole thing, but it was talking about the house of the Lord laying in ruins. That actually, in order for us as a church to be empowered to do what we've been called to do, we need to be blessed so that we can fund that. And God's given Sheldon and the church a vision. We need to be blessed in order to be the provision, to give the provision. I know we're not the provision, God is, but do you understand what I'm saying? So this is not about what I can get out of this, okay? But it's about the fact that I need to be a blessing. Because we've got things to do for the kingdom, okay? I need to know how to access what God wants me to have. He says, will I not rebuke the devourer? The tithe brings protection. It stops the bag of holes. The tithe sews up the holes. That's what it does. It brings protection. We want to hold on to our little piece because we can't imagine that I can just part with that. But we don't realize that when we do, what we access and what we have access to. Okay. So let me show you. Let me show you what you have access to. I'll put that in case I need it. Point number three. Tithing is a blessing. Okay, now remember, we spoke about this. My dad My dad is a minister as well, for those who don't know. And one of the things that God has really, revelation that God has given him is in finance. And as a teenager growing up under many of this ministry, you'd think I would have learned and not done this, but you know what happens. But there were many times when I would hear him say, people come to get the 10 steps so that they can do the 10 steps, so they can get the thing. And they forget that it's a heart attitude. All right, so I want to caution you. Tithing is a blessing, and God is going to abundantly bless you like he has done for my husband and I. He's not a respecter of persons. We put some principles in place in our lives, as I'm sure many of you have testimonies to. And he honors his word when he says, will I not open the floodgates of heaven? But let's also let's remember that that's not the goal. The goal is to actually honor God. The goal is to show him that you have my whole heart, Lord. There is nothing that is holding me to this world. You are everything to me. And I will gladly give of the first of my first fruits to you because of all that you've done for me. So this is a story. If you guys want to, you can turn there if you'd like to. I'm going to be here for a little while. It's in 2 Chronicles 31. And it is a story of Hezekiah. And throughout the last couple chapters of Chronicles, Hezekiah is going through a process of restoring the temple and some of the practices. He reinstitutes Passover, and they get into the temple and they start clearing out. And they're cleaning out the junk, and they're starting to just put things in order. And in that space, he realizes that there's an economic crisis and that the Israelites were not one of the things that God had said they were not doing. And so he issues a command and he says, so it says here, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. All right, so he issues a commandment and the people obey and they begin to bring the tithes. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. In the third month, which is a harvest month, they began laying them in heaps. And they finished in the seventh month, which was also a harvest month, the second month. But they tithed all the way through from harvest to harvest. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. So what's happened is the king's issued this decree, and the people have followed the commandment, and they've just begun to bring a tithe. And the king arrives the end of the seventh month, and he sees this extreme abundance. It is overflowing. There are piles of things everywhere. And I've been like, oh my goodness, what have you done? He goes to the priest and he says, and I think he's saying, are the people okay? Because, I mean, this is a lot. Like, are they sitting with nothing? Have you been whipping them and making them bring everything? What's going on? And he's saying, no. Hezekiah, this is just the tithe. They are blessed. This is their tithe. This is just a 10% of what is happening. How incredible is that? Just the obedience to say, in that time. And they weren't in, it wasn't an abundant time that it was simply easy for them to do. It was a time when, if you read the whole of Chronicles, you'll see it was a difficult time, and there was a lot happening. I don't want to harp on that. There was a lot happening. But they were obedient and they instituted the principle, and then look how God honored them. So one of our more darker financial times was around about 2015, 2016. And we moved to Cape Town to be part of a family business. And for the first year, our family business flourished and it was abundant and it did really well. And then we made a decision as a group of business owners, and we opened a second branch, and we did that hastily, and things just went pear-shaped. It wasn't the right move, and we ended up with one store was floating the other one, and we had incredible rent. Our rent was 75,000 rand a month. That was the rental at the building, okay? And for the first year, in our first building, it was in our first shop, we would have easily covered that. It was doing really well. God really blessed us. And then without seeking his advice, we jumped into a decision, and you learn these things, and God's so gracious. Sometimes you have to. And anyway, we had a three-year contract with Cavendish Mall. We had a three-year contract, and after the first year, we were not floating at all. And it was a difficult time. And we were faced with a decision as we actually have to close the store down. And our other store was, the lease was about to expire. And it was like we needed to cut our losses because it was tanking in a big way and it was starting to become a problem. So we made the decision that we were going to close the business down and we were going to just see what was left and deal with the things that were left. But unfortunately, when we went in to have the meeting with the management of the store, they said that unfortunately our contract specifies that we've signed a three-year contract, and so we are liable for the rent for 3 years. Now, we've only been there 1 year. So if you want to do some quick maths, I'm not going to do it. 75,000 times 12 times 12. I mean, like 20 times 24 times 2 times 2. Okay, that's a lot. We didn't have that. We didn't have that money. And I know this isn't, I'll speak to how the tithing comes in, but this is just to show you how God can take an impossible situation when we feel like we'll just hold on to our little bit, because that's going to save us, obviously. And we're stuck with this massive, massive debt. And there's no way we can continue to run the business because it is running at a loss. And our other business is about to close, and that was the only thing keeping this one afloat. And in the meantime, people were stealing, and there was all sorts. It was a time. After prayer and after putting a few things in order that we felt the Lord had asked us to do, I'm just going to paraphrase. I actually wasn't part of these business negotiations. I don't think my heart wouldn't have coped with it, but my brother was there and he's nodding. But to cut a very long story short, we had had multiple, with lots of threatening emails and lots of different things, multiple dealings with the management. And then one day, we got a random email. And they said that they would release us from the contract. We only had to pay 2 months' rent. I mean, only God can do that. And more than that, we were able to close the business and sell off the assets. And except for the initial investment, we were able to absolutely cover everything that we owed and expenses. We left clean, except for the loss, obviously, of the initial investment. But God's going to restore that too. But it's just to explain that when things are in order, God provides supernaturally in incredible ways. And I have many stories, many, many stories. I'll tell you one more. I'm on a roll now. In 2016, so now this is all happening. We're in this stage. I think my husband is now earning commission, but there never was any commission. And It was an omission. As Wendy said, it wasn't a commission, it was omission. And it was that time where every month we were struggling where to be. And we instituted a principle that God showed us. But we were tithing. Like I said, we were doing a makeshift tithe. We were paying what we could. And I know God has grace too. I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I'm just saying that it's a test of our heart. But we heard a word and we heard a message, and it was about to just, and it was like, this was like a deep revelation. And the Lord said, the tithing is first. It's not rent, school fees, and tithe. It's tithe. And then everything else. And that's where the faith comes in. Because it's easy to go, well, it's not easy, but you get to the end and you give what you can and feel like God's got grace and I'll be fine. But it's much harder when he talks in Exodus, he says to give the firstborn lamb. He doesn't say have 10 lambs and then give me one of them. That's a sacrifice, to be able to take the first one, and you don't know that you're getting 9 more. You just have that. That's all you have. That takes time for the other 9. You know how the birds and bees and all that work. It takes time. All right? That's an act of faith, to take that lamb and say, this is first, because God, you are first, because you gave Jesus first. And so we started to institute this. As soon as money came in, I was the only one at that stage getting paid. The minute my salary cleared in my account, my first payment out was my tithe. And then we sat with what was left and decided who was going to miss out this week. And I decided I'd rather make Woolworths unhappy than God. And in that year, after we had started to institute this principle, that year we were blessed with a trip overseas. All four of us took fly overseas to the United States to visit my mom and dad. And it wasn't my mom and dad that paid for it. It was somebody else that paid all 4 tickets. And we had nothing. When I say nothing, that in our immaturity and desperation and not understanding how God is just so incredible, we didn't have any spending money. We had nothing. And our thoughts were, our trip was to be for a month. How do you go all the way overseas for a month with no money? So we did what any rational human being would do. We sold our car. And we got a little bit of money. We still owed money on it. So by the time we'd paid everything off, we managed to have $200. And at that stage, it was 2,000 rand. That didn't cover the Uber ride home. But yeah, we're thinking, okay, it's fine, because you know what? We'll trust the Lord we'll be fine. Now, we don't have a car. We only had one, and we sold it for $200 to buy coffee in the United States. We got to the States, and when we arrived at the airport, someone paid for a month of car hire for us that we were able to drive around for a month. It cost us $20 to put petrol in, and that tank of petrol lasted us the entire month. Except for that we drove from where my mom and dad stayed to New York, which is about a 7-hour drive. And how weird is this? Americans, the petrol's not the same in all the states. Like, every state has its own tax and its own petrol price and its own. Anyway, petrol's pretty expensive in New York. And so we went to fill up the tank, and our $200 by then, as you can imagine, was gone. And we had a little bit of money left over, and we literally drove. We were going to sleep the night and then fly out from New York. That was the plan. And we went to fill up the petrol tank, because you know you have to return the car with petrol in it, and it was $56. We didn't have $56. So then we thought, well, we'll take the car back, then maybe they'll just bill us, and then we'll say, they can email us the bill, and then maybe by that time we'll just leave, and then we'll pay it off or something. We'll just make a plan. So, scheming. Scheming was definitely part of the day. Anyway, my mom was with us, and she just said, you know what, let's just let's just go leave the car here because we're by the ferry. There was a ferry that we were going to go into to New York. It was actually on the night before New Year's Eve. So we got to, I mean, how amazing that we got to be in, what's that place? Times Square, the Times Square on New Year's. And we got to see for free because normally you have to pay to be there because we were there the night before. And we got to see all the warm, all the acts doing their sound checks and everything. So we got to experience the whole New Year's in New York for free. And the last bit of money that we had, we spent on the world's most expensive McDonald's we've ever bought in our entire life. And that was literally our last cent. And we still had the matter of this $56 waiting for us. Yeah, it was a very expensive McDonald's. And we got on the ferry to come home. And when I tell you God does things when you just least expect it. We were just fully prepared. My mom said she would just pay it and we would pay her back. And, you know, sorry. And we were sitting and we were just looking out. It was just beautiful. It was our last night. And we'd been so blessed. We didn't have 2 cents to rub together. And here we are in an iconic city. Experienced a festival of epic proportions. And God says, that's not enough. I've got more. And as we sat, there was the four of us just sat quietly. And there was a man sitting opposite us. And he said to Keith, are these your children? And Keith was like, Dini, South Africa. The South African kicked in, like, who are you? What do you want to do? It's super suspicious. And I could see, like, his chest puffed out. And I was like, yes, they are our children. Like, let's be friendly to the nice man. And he just said, I've just been watching them. And I can see Keith's, like, there on the back of his hand. He's grabbing Kelsey. And he said, I've been watching them and I'm just so blessed with the way, well, he didn't use the word blessed, but he said, I'm so intrigued by how well behaved they are. And I wanted to say exhausted, it's more like it. But there was just something about the interaction that we were having that touched his heart. And he said, I don't know why, but I just feel I want to give you something. Not a Christian. And I'm looking at Keith, I'm saying, it's God's blessing. Because Keith's like, I'm like, yes, we'll take it. Because Keith is ready to take this guy out. I might just mention he was like huge. Like Keith wouldn't have taken him out. and he said, would you mind? But he said, do you mind if I give it to the children? So obviously, you know, so we said yes. And he gave each one $50. That's $100. And they're not here, so I can tell you, we took the 50. They were too young. Kelsey was only 4. But we took the first $50, and we paid for the petrol, and we flew home owing nobody any money. And except for Kelsey. Yeah, we took them to the dollar store. They thought they got such a bargain. $10 got us like a bag of sweets, and it was great. But but the reality is, and just I'm really going on the story now. But remember the car that we sold, silly, but we did. When we got home, God made a way for us to acquire another vehicle. So we were not without a vehicle for very long. Because we were literally coming home after this incredible experience to no vehicle, no job, no back to reality, you know, that back to school, back to reality. Yeah, I was singing that song on the plane. But we arrived back, and not long after that, we had opportunity to acquire another vehicle. And even though this vehicle had a large balloon payment, at the time, we just accepted the blessing. Fast forward to COVID. In a time when we had reduced salaries, we were not able to earn. My husband and I both do extra coaching and teaching in order to get extra income. We're unable to do any of that. In that time, somehow, we miraculously were able to save money in an account At the time, we didn't know what it was for. We just were saving money because we weren't spending any, because that was one perk of COVID. You couldn't go anywhere, so you couldn't spend anything. And then we got an email to say the balloon payment was due. And I promise you, if I didn't have the email to prove it to you, you probably would not believe me when I tell you that the exact amount that was in our bank account was the exact amount we needed. And we were able to purchase the vehicle. I mean, fully pay off the balloon payment in one payment. We now have a fully paid off car. And a second. But that's another story. I just want to finish off with my last point. The key of all of this, besides the fact that the tithe is important, that it's God ordained, and that it is an important ordinance that we have to, one of the most important things we've got to remember is that because it's a test of our heart and it's an act of faith, it needs to be done first. And it says, remember that if we put God first in our life, everything comes into order. He says that in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will come. And Exodus 23 says, the first of the first fruits, just in case you weren't sure it was the first. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. One other one. He says, I haven't got it up here, Leviticus 27, we read it already. Remember that it's holy and that it belongs to him. And have I still got a few minutes? No more minutes. There are many stories, I'm not going to do them. There are many stories in Joshua when Jericho falls, God says, bring all the silver and gold. Why does he say all? And he calls it consecrated unto the Lord. He says all because Jericho is the first city. He doesn't say bring a tenth for that one. He says bring all. Because the first will redeem the rest. But unfortunately, Achan didn't hand everything over. He stole some of it. And in literally a chapter later in verse 1, it's no longer consecrated. Now it's accursed things. He took of the accursed things. He didn't honor the first. And so it falls out of the, you haven't unlocked the principle here. Another quick one. In Genesis with Cain and Abel, you know the story. Cain brings an offering. It says, in the process of time. In English, that means after some time. Not first, not straight away. In the process of some time, it came to pass that Cain bought an offering. Not the first, just an offering. Keith and I were doing that. We were bringing an offering in the process of time when we could. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Notice the person is attached there. But Cain, he did not respect, nor his offering. And if you're wondering, what is it about the two? It's not the offering. It wasn't that his was the lamb and his was the fruit. It wasn't that. It was that Abel brought the firstborn, and Cain brought it an offering in the process of time. I want to finish with a scripture. In Exodus 13, verse 14. I don't actually think I've put it up there. I'm just going to, if you want to turn there with me. Exodus 13, verse 14. This entire chapter. In verse 1, he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. He talks about that. And when you jump to verse 11 and down to 13, he talks about, he explains this principle of the first. And I don't have time to share that with you today, but I don't feel like I need to. But go and have a read and go and have a look and see. He says, if you have a firstborn lamb, you sacrifice it. If you have a firstborn donkey, you redeem it with a lamb, or you break its neck. In other words, you're losing it anyway. But doesn't that remind you of something? Jesus is the lamb. He's a clean lamb. A lamb is a clean animal, and a donkey is considered unclean. All right? And Jesus represents that lamb. We the donkeys. We were born unclean. I know you're thinking, hang on a minute, but let me ask the parents. How many of you had to teach your children to be disobedient? Okay? You're born with it. All right? We're born with it. And until God redeemed us with the lamb, and that redeeming of that lamb secures the rest. And it's the principle of the first. The first redeems the rest. And Jesus is God's tithe. And he sacrificed him long before he knew we would clean ourselves up. Long before he knew if we were going to change things around. And then it says in verse 14, and so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? Now he's talking about this redeeming of the lamb and the donkey and all that, and the killing of the firstborn, that you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so you can imagine a young child growing up and wondering what is going on. Every time a firstborn lamb is born, he gets slaughtered. And I can imagine that must be confusing. And as he got older, he's thinking, gee, we are giving away a lot of money here. This doesn't make sense. And when he asks his dad, and I'm going to just paraphrase this in my own language, and the dad says, son, we weren't always like this. You and I weren't always like this. We haven't been redeemed. We hadn't been redeemed. We were in bondage. We were in slavery. But by strength of hand, the Lord has brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And everything that you see today is because of him. And so I gladly give the first of what I have because of what he's done for me. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we can never measure up to what you have done for us, for what you have given and for what you have provided, and for how you so gently teach us your ways and your principles. Lord, I pray right now that you will dispel fear. Where some of you feel that this is something that maybe I want to do, but there's a niggle of fear. How will we cope? Lord, I pray that you would flood our hearts with your peace. We sang this morning that your promise still stands, that you have been faithful to so many, to all of us. I pray, Lord, that in this time, in this week, when this word will be tested, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just bring your peace. That you would, this truth would dispel fear. And Lord, that you would honor your word in each and every home. That as people with faith and in faith begin to give you the first of all their increase, that you, Holy Spirit, would remind them of the promise that they have in you. In Jesus' name.
Come, let's stand. Tracy, we honor God for you. You were gifted to the body of Christ. I want to pray for you as we close in prayer. Let me tell you why. Like with Ray and with Sheldon, when we stand in front here and you preach, do you know what happens on a Monday? The enemy is relentless to come at you for what God has allowed you to say here this morning. So this battle is spiritual. So let's close our eyes as we close and pray and as we just thank the Lord for what's happened here. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that is faithful and true. We pray for Tracy right now, who's been the messenger of your word, that you protect her heart and her mind and her being. Thank you for being, Father God, so honest and vulnerable this morning. We pray your divine protection over her heart and mind, that today, that when she leaves this building, that she will not second guess herself, that she will rest in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that your word has become so clear to us today that we are now held accountable for that which we know. Thank you for your messenger. Thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. We pray right now that as we leave from here, as we reflect on your word, ponder, as we study your word, Lord, that you've already, oh, Father God, challenged our hearts over the last few weeks and today especially, that, Lord, we need to walk in step and in tune with you. You do not require our money. You want our heart. Because where our heart is, our treasure lies. And, Lord, we honor you today that we, oh, Father God, want to be good stewards of what you've given us. Lord, won't you be the after preacher as we move in different directions? We pray that the angels of the Lord will watch over us, that the blood of Jesus will cover us, that this week, Lord God, we will be blessed, that we will be blessed, Father God, to be salt and light wherever we go. So we pray your protection and your leading in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.